Thank you, Lord. Well, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Just got done talking about love here. And so the first part of verse 8 is referring to that. But he said, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. I want to talk to you today about the fact that we know in part. We don't know everything the way we're going to know when we enter into heaven, when we see God face to face. We don't have all the knowledge we're going to have. We don't have all the understanding we're going to have. We walk through this earth as men, born again men. Our spirits are recreated, but we still are in a world system. We still have limited understanding. We're not God. And that's part of this Christian walk. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to have every question answered. If you know that it's natural not to know everything, it's natural to have certain questions. Not that the Bible can't answer them. They can. But the fact is, we all come from different backgrounds. We have different things put into us throughout our life. We have a different perspective. God is completely just and noble and pure and perfect, but our understanding, and as we go through life, is not always perfect. Now, I'm not saying any of this, you know, to try to deflate us. I'm saying it to encourage us that when we go through life, sometimes you feel, and the devil will use this very thing to try to discourage us and to try to get us off and to try to cause us to doubt God, the fact that we don't know certain things. And one of his favorite tactics is to get us to ask the question, why? Or how? Or did God really say, or is God really like this? And to question, use the fact that you don't know everything, which none of us do, that maybe you don't see something down the road or you don't see perfectly in a situation to get you to relinquish your faith in God and his word. And instead of trusting him, even the places you can't see perfect, to back away and to cause you to relinquish your faith. It's a tactic that the enemy uses. But I want to read this scripture in the Living Bible. Verse 8 says, all the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end, but love goes on forever. Someday prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge, these gifts will disappear. Now, they haven't yet. Now, some people would say, well, this is referring to, when that is perfect has come, it's referring to the Bible and the canonization of scriptures in the first century. And so once we have the Bible, we don't need the gifts of the Spirit. We don't need any of, you know, these things. This is not referring to, because it also says knowledge will disappear. Well, knowledge has not disappeared. These other things he's saying has not disappeared. This is referring to when we come into heaven, when we're known, or we know just as we're known, when we come face to face with God. Someday prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge, these gifts will disappear. Now we know so little, even with our special gifts. And the preaching of those most gifted is still so poor. But when we have been made perfect and complete, then the need for these inadequate special gifts will come to an end and they will disappear. It's like this. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does. But when I became a man, my thoughts grew far beyond those of my childhood. And now I have put away the childish things. In the same way, we can see and understand only a little about God now, as if we are peering at his reflection in a poor mirror. But someday we are going to see him in his completeness, face to face. Now all that I know is hazy and blurred, but then I will see everything clearly, just as clearly as God sees into my heart right now. We don't see perfectly as much as we'd like to. We walk through this earth with the Word of God and the Spirit of God as our guide. But we have to walk by faith because we don't see everything perfect. And God wants us to walk by faith. God wants us to rely on Him. And man tries to figure everything out and have an answer for everything. And that gets him into a lot of trouble. Now, I'm not saying we stick our head in the sand and act like nothing, you know, we don't need to know anything. It's not true. But we're not supposed to make up answers where we can't have an answer either, or where there is no clear answer from the Word of God or from our surroundings, you know, to try to force the issue and say we have to have an answer for this. When you force yourself into that corner, many people have gotten off track and they have tried to produce intellectually an answer for everything when they don't have it, and they get off into error. The fact is, we can't prove that there's a God. It's impossible. The fact is, it's equally impossible to prove that there isn't a God. It is to be taken by faith. And for the man that looks totally in reason, tries to approach God Almighty with complete reason and doesn't want to take anything by faith, things are unclear to him. They're fuzzy. Can't see everything. Well, it's the same thing as in our Christian walk. If we try to take everything, just what we can understand, I want to see everything. I want to walk perfectly. I want to know everything out in front of me. The greatest men of God have never walked that way. I mean, we can be led by God. He will walk us step by step as we walk in faith, follow His Word, stay close to Him. But there's our scripture that says the secret things belong to the Lord. Great men of God have gone and seen certain things in their life, you know, and didn't understand them. Ask God why. Why did this happen? I don't understand why this happened. A loved one, you know, went to be with the Lord or something. Why? And Brother Hagin said that once. It was a certain situation, and he was asking God about it. Asking him, you know, and finally God just said, don't worry about it. Don't ask me about it anymore. You don't understand? And, you know, we don't know everything. We don't know the reasons for everything. We know what the Word says, and we can always bank on what the Word says, and we can follow the Spirit of God inside. But it will free us when we don't think we have to defend every little thing and that we don't have to have it all figured out, because the devil will use that to keep you in circles. What about this? You don't have that figured out yet. Well, if I just knew that, if I just had that completely, then I would be solid. But as soon as you get that, then there's something else. He will constantly probe you, trying to get you to doubt. He knows men. He's been around for thousands of years. He's seen people operate. He knows to push their buttons. That's why we stay in faith on God's side, regardless of our understanding, our limited understanding. We, if God's Word says it, we stick with that, regardless. And if we're in that position, the devil cannot push us off, because we're not based on our understanding where we're saying, this is true, I don't care what it looks like. This is true, God said it, that's it. The devil can't defeat you. He can't push you off with that. He can't. It's impossible. As long as you stay in the realm of faith, you're undefeatable. But when you start to get into reason, now you're in his realm. Now he can bat you around. Now he can say, what about this? What about this? And if you think you're going to out-reason the devil, you're wrong. Nobody's that smart to take him toe-to-toe in the flesh. But in the spirit, now we have God Almighty behind us. Now we're reasoning in his realm. Now the devil's no match for us, and he knows it. That's why he tries to get us over into the realm and to get you into confusion and to get you questioning God. He did that from the beginning. We've talked about it before. Eve, what did he come to say? He said, did God really say? He got her to question. But we just have to remain in faith. Let's turn over to 1 John 3. See, we all feel a little more confident. There's a song that says something like this. People feel a little more confident when they think they have all the answers. Kind of get puffed up. I can answer all this. But that's not where God wants us to be. He wants us to be reliant on Him and not be reliant on our intellect. Because there's a lot of people that think they have the answers and they're all disagreeing, even in the Christian circles. You know, they think they have all the scriptures figured out, but then you go to another camp and they say the exact opposite of what the other camp says. So, you know, we just got to trust God with the understanding we have and go on. This is a verse that's saying a very similar thing. 1 John 3, verse 2. It said, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." We will see God as He is. You know, the Bible says when we go to heaven, every tear will be wiped away. There isn't going to be any pain or anything, but why is there going to be tears? Part of the reason could be we're going to be crying because we realize what was really going on in the way we walked out our earthly walk and said, Oh, Lord. How I got distracted or how I looked at that when you were really over here, you were really doing these things or whatever, and we say, oh no, what I could have done, how I could have walked. We don't want to be like that. We just got to stay focused on Him, stay focused on what we do know, you know, what we do know. We know, we stay focused on what the Word of God says and the things that we know. When we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, you know, we were talking about on Easter that all these historical accounts have been given so that we could know Him, that we have chosen to believe that, and that we know Him as Lord. Nobody can take that away from us. Nobody can take away your testimony and your knowledge of God. They can reason with you. They can try to tell you thing left and right and try to get you in the head, but they can't take away your relationship with God. Andrew Womack tells a story of when he was over in Vietnam. He was a young kid. I think he was like 18, 19 or something like that. And this guy, he was a chaplain, and he was doing a Bible study or something. And this guy that was older than him was educated at some elite school or something, was an atheist, just started ripping him apart. You know, I started asking him questions, made him look like a fool in front of everybody until everybody left. It was just them two, and then that guy left. And Andrew Womack, he just said he felt such like a failure. Andrew just said, well, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know, whatever. But the guy left, and Andrew just sat there, just felt like he just let God down. He didn't know the answers. He wasn't prepared enough. Just felt defeated. The guy came back a half hour later. He said, I ripped all your information apart. I could tell you, I could out-argue you, but I want what you have. You're still sure, even though I can say all these things and try to tear you apart. You still know something, and that's what I want. See, people, it's not all about the intellectual arguments or what is or what isn't, because everybody is taking what they believe by faith, one way or another. I don't care who says what, how they can prove things. Some way they're taking it by faith. They're taking what people say. There's some way we can, like I said, we cannot prove there is a God, but you cannot prove there's not a God. You can't. So some way you're taking it by faith. And so our job is to just stay content with what we do know of God and not get distracted by the little things. 2 Corinthians 4. Let's turn back there. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. It says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's stay focused on what we do know. The things that aren't are seen are temporary. Things change. Your circumstances change. We don't see everything behind the scenes, but God Almighty is eternal. He's constant. He'll be there forever. And that's what we're to focus on. Keep our eyes on the ball, on the things that aren't seen. On Him. Stay keeping our faith there. Philippians 3. Let's turn over there. Philippians 3. See, it does take humbling of ourselves just to put ourselves in God's hands and to admit we don't know everything, because man wants to figure it all out. Our flesh wants to figure it all out, wants to know it all. It just wants to have an answer for everything, always know what's coming up. And if we're going to walk by faith and trust in Him, it hasn't been like that throughout the Word of God. It's not like that. We are dependent on Him. Philippians 3, verse 7. This is Paul speaking. He says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I keep going forward. I look to Him and keep moving forward after Him, and don't get caught looking back and saying, well, what about this and what about this, of things that we can't answer, that'll trip us up as we're going forward. I'm not saying that God won't give us answers on certain things. I'm not saying there's just things we can't know, but there are circumstances like that. My point today is that we shouldn't let those things trip us up. We go forward and move on with God. You don't have to turn over there, but Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it's a well-known verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Don't trust in your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. If we are only... If we just lean on our own understanding, we are greatly limited. Because none of us knows like we will know. And if we lean only on our own understanding, only on what we know, only on what we can see, only on our education or the limits of that, we are greatly limited. But when we look to Him and say, God, I don't know, but I know this is what You're leading. I know this is the way You're leading. Or I know this is what Your Word says. So regardless, this is the way I'm going. Now we're not limited to my understanding or your understanding. We are only limited by God and His understanding. Completely raises the bar. If we always think I have to understand it, boy, you know, I'm not going to believe it till I see it. I'm not going to make a move until I have it all figured out. And that puts us, that really lowers the thresholds of our life. But we say, God, whatever You say, whatever You want me to do, however, wherever You lead me and guide me, as long as I know it's You, I'm going out after You. Now it's just broken all the limits off. I'm not limited by me. I don't have to have it all figured out. I just have to know that I'm walking with Him, that I'm following Him, that I have answers that I need, and I'm going on. And this is the way people of faith have walked in the Bible. Abraham. Let's turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews 11:8. Well, you could read just a lot of stuff here. But Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But notice that first part. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He did not know. He did not have GPS. He did not have, you know, several years ago it was just go on Google or Yahoo and print out your map. Now, we got the map with us at all times telling us where to go. He did not have that. He did not have, you know, the track or the trip tick or whatever all printed out for him and highlighted with yellow, which this is where you're going. Here's your destination. He just heard the voice of God that said go, and he did not know where he was going. Now, you'd ask a lot of people, that's foolishness. That's lack of planning. Doesn't he have any foresight? Doesn't he know that you're supposed to, you know, plan everything out and figure everything out first? What? Doesn't he know this stuff, Abraham? No, he knew God. God said go, so he said, all right. He doesn't know where he's going. Now, how many people would do that? If you said, I'm leaving, where are you going? I don't know. God told me, well, you know, you got to be careful who you tell that to, because people will look at you a little crazy, and you know, because that's not normal. But we know Abraham was right. But he didn't have it all figured out. He didn't know. I'm sure he looks back now and he's up in heaven. He has some things figured out. I don't know how it works in heaven. I don't know if they can see everything back. I don't know if they get to watch videos or what. But, you know, you would at least you get to talk to God. You could probably ask him a few questions, you know, say, hey, well, what about that? Okay, I see it now. I understand what was going on. But he didn't know that. He didn't. He didn't see perfectly. And he's the father of the faith. You know, he didn't know how he was going to have a son. I mean, this is a guy that he was striking out and going and following God, but he did some dumb things on the way. He didn't know how he was going to get a son. So he, you know, tried some natural ways of figuring that out. He says it's not going to come through Sarah. He did some dumb things with his maidservant, whatever, and gave his wife away a few times when he felt threatened. I mean, he did not see clearly. I'm not saying we ought to, you know, emulate that part of Abraham's life, but the fact is he did not see everything clearly. Yeah, but he walked with God. You read about that back. We're not going to turn to it now, but back in Genesis. Let's turn there real quick. Genesis 12. We'll just read the verses we're talking about. Genesis 12. See, it's so easy sometimes to read the Bible and you see these things and you think, you know, people walked through what they were walking through it with the understanding that you have reading their account 1,000 years later, 2,000 years later, and you have all the information, you know how it turns out, and you read it and go, well, they knew all that. No, they didn't know it. They didn't see it perfectly. They walked, you know, like it said over there, they knew in part. We know in part. You still have to walk by faith. So in verse 1, Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem as far as the terebinth tree of Morah, and the Canaanites were there in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. That's the count. You know, he went away from his people, and God promised him this land. But he didn't see perfectly. He didn't walk it out perfectly. We just need to stick close to God. Let's turn over to Acts. Let's go over to Acts 20. Paul, we just read what Paul said. And these are, Paul's the one that said, "We know in part." Paul's the one who said he presses on towards the mark, that he doesn't look at the things behind, but he looks ahead. Acts 20. Verse 17, Paul, who wrote a good portion of the epistles, verse 17, chapter 20, verse 17 of Acts. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." So he's calling these people together, and he's telling them, he's going to Jerusalem. And he says a little bit further that you won't see me anymore. But he doesn't know exactly what's happening. He just knows God's calling him. He's going to Jerusalem. Verse 22, and see, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Doesn't he know? Doesn't he know exactly what's going to happen? He's Paul the Apostle. Doesn't he know what God, that all, doesn't he have it all laid out for him, exactly what's going to happen? The guy that wrote all these books that we read? No, he doesn't know. He just knows what God has told him. He's just following God. People are saying he just knows that the Holy Spirit that bears witness in every city that there's tribulations. Now, if we skip down to Acts 21, verse 7. So he talks to these people. He tells them that, you know, you won't be seeing me anymore. And then they hugged him. They didn't know if they'd ever see him again, which I don't believe they did. They go out on a ship for a while. And then in verse 7, chapter 21, "And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them one day. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed, and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with them. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied, and as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Now watch what's going to happen here. Paul knows what he's supposed to do. He knows where he's supposed to go, but watch what happens. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, this is a prophet, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now, the man just prophesied to him he's going to be bound when he goes to Jerusalem. Now look at what the people say. "Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to go bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.'" So Paul, again, he doesn't know exactly what's going to happen. None of these people know exactly what's going to happen. Paul just knows that in every city, the Holy Spirit is bearing witness that things are going to happen to him there. So he has a prophet come and prophesies to him and says that he says, "So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." So the man just prophesies, "You're going to be bound when you go to Jerusalem." And so what do the people around him say? They put their own interpretation on what the Holy Spirit's saying, because they don't know what's going to happen. And this, I'm just pointing this out, this is really tempting to do. When God tells you to do something, be very careful how you interpret it in light of what you know. It's very easy to do. Or if you ever get a word of knowledge or something, in a surface, that will always bear witness with what you already know. But when you go, "Well, I believe God's telling me to do this, so it must mean this." Very careful about doing that, because you're connecting the dots based on what you know. If the Spirit of God's bearing witness with you to do something, that's different. What I'm saying is, when you get something ministered to you, or the Spirit of God points something out in Scripture, or you get through prayer or whatever, he's telling you to do something, be very careful about connecting the dots and saying, based on your understanding, what you can see, "God's telling me to do this, so that must mean this," and add on to it. Because look what these people did. Verse 12, "Now when they heard these things, that he's going to be bound," what did they say? "Both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go." They said, "You're going to be bound, that must mean you should not go." But from the time Paul, when he became born again, back in Acts 9, God said, "You will be my vessel to bear witness to me in front of Gentiles and the Jews and in front of kings." Let's turn over. We can just turn over. In Acts chapter 9, just turn back a couple chapters. Acts 9, so you can see this. This is when Paul, he was persecuting, when he was Saul, he was persecuting the Christians and completely against the Christians. And Jesus appears to him on the road to Damascus, and he's blinded. And, he bows his knee to Jesus, to makes him his Lord. And he goes, and he's blind, and he goes, and then Ananias, there's a certain disciple named Ananias, that's where we pick up in verse 10, chapter 9, verse 10. "Now there's a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' So the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, and behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." God's will for Paul was to preach before Gentiles, before kings, and before the children of Israel. And that's exactly when he went to Jerusalem. He was arrested. He was put in prison. He eventually appeared before King Agrippa. And from what we can see in the Bible, he probably appeared before Caesar, although the Bible doesn't say that he actually appeared. But he was there, and you know, there's some verses that say, you know, in Acts 27, I'll just read you this, when he was on the way, it says, "Do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted all those who sail with you." So it indicates that he probably did go before Caesar, but he appeared before King Agrippa, and probably appeared before Caesar. So it was God's will for him to do that, is what I'm saying, to go to Jerusalem. But the circumstances from people's understanding, all they're hearing is that he's going to get bound. Why would anybody want to go there? Why would anybody want to do that? You shouldn't go. And see, with our limited understanding, if we can let that trip us up and put our own interpretation on things that God is saying. Some people have actually said that it wasn't God's will. Some people teach this, that it wasn't God's will for Paul to go to Jerusalem. That was a warning, and he disregarded it and didn't go. Well, I mean, the Bible indicates that was God's will for him to go there, and he fulfilled God's will by going and doing exactly what he did. But what I'm saying is, when we have something from God, when we're walking out with God and we have a direction, we have to know that we just stay close to him, stay close to the word, stay close to what he actually said, and don't add something to it based on our limited understanding, because we know that our understanding is indeed limited, but his isn't. And so we just walk with him and let him be the leader, let him be the guide. And sometimes you don't look to what you can see or what you can hear or what you can feel. Because we know in part, but he knows in full, and he is a trustworthy guide. He will always lead us in the right direction. He will always lead us on the best pathway for our life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Amen.